Dave for breakfast. 50 years of Port Hedland.
The historic Hedland podcast series on the Listener app. You can get that on your smart device from wherever you get your apps. Historic Hedland podcast is all part of the Dave for Breakfast podcast series. And not so long ago, we caught up with Bob Neville and we talked the development and the history of softball on the northwest coastal town of Port Hedland. I've got Bob back again today to talk baseball. Hello again, Bob. How are you?
Hi, I'm well, sir. How are you?
All right. Now, when we were speaking about softball, you threw out the line that, well, you men have got baseball and us girls have got softball. And it was a bit like that across, I guess, many of the country towns, particularly in the northwest. So there wasn't so much of a men's softball competition as such, because they had the overarm throwing and they could hurl the ball at baseball. And you were part of both camps. You had a foot in each camp, did you not?
I did indeed, and yes, it wasn't long afterwards in baseball when baseball first started in 1976. It wasn't long after that actually that the women came in and a couple of them started playing baseball as well because they enjoyed it and they were good softball players and they wanted to play baseball. So that was not in the rules to say that you can't do that. So that occurred.
Very good. What sort of clubs did we have? I mean, currently there are four clubs playing in the local Port Hedland Baseball Association. You've got the Swans, which is tentatively linked with the South Hedland area through the footy club. You've got you've got Pirates, Sharks, and the Brewers, who seem to be perennial champions. And they've been champions off and on for many years now, in my knowledge.
They certainly have. Well, we had, in those days when it started, the Raiders were a favourite side. They were blue and white, and they were from Port Hedland, yes. They played in their blue colour, but you had the Sharks. And we had the Pirates later on, and we also had the Swans come in as well there. So we started off with the four clubs, and that grew a little bit. And in actual fact, baseball in Port Hedland grew exponentially over the years, and we actually had seven baseball diamonds in Port and South Hedland.
Goodness gracious.
Worked out, because everyone had their own home ground. And as you can see now, it's been reduced down to the one diamond, which is the Marie Marlin Reserve ground, and that's under lights, and that's the favourite place to play. And you're better off playing under lights in summertime than you are in 42 degrees of heat.
This is true. This is true. As I said, only four clubs. Now the Swans, were they the most recent team to enter the competition, and did they develop out of the football club?
I think, I'm trying to think about the Swans. I think a lot of them developed actually out of the high school. High school started the team, and I think that's where they developed from, the high school. I can't be sure of that, but that's how they came out. I started off with Sharks, and I started off with the coach of Sharks, for a fellow by the name of Jim McKeegan, and he was the one who really started baseball off in South Hedland. And he was a Canadian, and him and his family and his wife did the statistician stuff and taught everyone else how to do that. And Jim McKeegan did a lot of coaching there and coaching coaches, et cetera. And it was great. It was great to see. And we had some real, I don't know what you'd call them, coaches there. And I used to love a game of baseball there with the two coaches. Always had something to say to each other.
I'm taking the cue straight from Major League Baseball. They see them do it in the big leagues. We can do it here as well.
Exactly.
So did the baseball also follow the pattern with the ladies' softball and have representative fixtures as well?
Yes, they did. We did have the Northwest Baseball Championships, and the team that we loved to play when they came down was Exmouth, because they were the naval guys, the American naval guys from there when that was running, and we used to get some very, very good competitive games with them. We also managed to get Karratha involved in it as well. So we had a few teams there who came up and played with Northwest Baseball Championships. But I think the big thing was that we managed to also bring Perth into the town and bring a team up. I can't remember when the first time was, we brought a representative team up from Perth. And then we also brought one up from Victoria and one up from South Australia, where we had a couple of games played there at the Marie Marlin Reserve under the lights, which was absolutely terrific. And one thing about baseball was my biggest pleasing area from baseball was the amount of young people that came up and through the T-ball into junior baseball and into senior baseball and made the grade somewhere else, whether that was outside, whether that was in Perth, whether that was over east. And they also, a few of them managed to go over to the United States there to try to make the grade over there as well. So, you know, there was a lot of interest in baseball.
I just want to talk to you about that. I'm glad you brought that up because it seems to be a thing these days, not necessarily isolated to us on the northwest coast, but it seems to be a thing that if a talent-identified youth, a youngster, gets the opportunity, they will take up a potential scholarship, full or part thereof, and go and develop their game in the United States through the high school and the college system over there. And yep. the pathways then just massively open up. Did we have, to your knowledge, do we have talented youngsters or even a bit beyond the youngster, if you like, to go away and play at the next level, say at Baseball Australia level, to play but potentially Claxton Shield or beyond?
Well, we have one in there now, a young guy by the name of Liam Collins. He's in the Perth Heat team, which played in the championship playoff down in Perth just a few weeks ago. As far as I'm aware, there are a number of youngsters. I know Shane John's got one of his young fellas in there as well that go over and play down in Perth or even go across to Victoria, etc. So, and those opportunities are there. And the Baseball Association has always been good to ensure those opportunities arise by bringing up the level coaches which are needed in Port Eden to keep the game on top of, or keep the people on top of the game, and also do a bit of spying and seeing if there's anyone there worth taking down to Perth and spreading on from there and moving on to the bigger league baseball, even whether it be in Perth and local Australian baseball, or even, as I said, over the USA, which is something which a few guys from Port Eden have made it over there. Unfortunately, they didn't make the grade to get into the top sides, but there has been a few Australians there who've played in top grade baseball in the US.
What about, that's player development. What about coaching development or umpire development for the sport? Were you able to generate some coaching and umpire development through your time here?
Oh, most definitely. And that's one of the things. When we had coaches come up and we would organise that with Perth about getting coaches, you'd also bring up some umpires so they can coach the umpires or coach the players as well on umpiring and what's new and what's not, etc. And we stayed ahead of that. And I think we've got some excellent umpires in Port Hedland. We did have. A lot of us have retired, but it's. I think umpiring is a good sport to be in as well. I think it's still being part of the sport if you can't play the game, but still being part of it there and loving the game of baseball.
Well, that's the next. That's the challenge for the current generation, isn't it? To develop the not only the players, but also to develop the officiating as well. And it's not just the guy behind or the girl standing behind the plate, but also base umpiring and scoring. Scoring is an art to it in itself. And if you've got people that can teach you how to score and keep the stats of the not just count the balls and the strikes, but count how they got to first base and through to second base, etc. Scoring is, as I said, it's an intricate art in itself.
And we had a lot of good volunteers, and in scoring, Mitzi Cassidy comes to view. She used to run some scoring clinics, etc. Because we used to get the experts from Perth to come up and do a secluded coaching session with a few scorers, but then those scorers get the knowledge of go out to all the other scorers and teach them how to do it as well. And that's been going on for a number of years. So it's something, yeah. So it's important for all of that to happen, whether it's with the players or whether it's with the coaches or with the umpires, and that is happening and has been happening for a number of years.
Bob, it's been fantastic to pick your brains again after all these years. Something like 50 years ago, or almost 50 years ago, when you touched down in the town, and if people will doubt your veracity, I don't doubt your memory of things like that. And so, as I said, it's good to touch base with you again and have you as part of our podcast series. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. I appreciate that. Thank you.